welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having an absolutely blessed day today. Got a lot of articles and stories for you. Been going over a bunch of stuff this morning and just staying busy. And again, thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Oh, absolutely blessed. Austin, I tell you, it's another beautiful day down here in Florida in spite of the chemtrails. A little breezy, kind of partly cloudy. It's a very pretty day, though, for the end of April, so I'm really happy to be here on the air with you guys today. And it's funny because I was reading this, and I knew Charlton Heston when he was alive. In fact, Austin met him, has a picture with him, you know, and it's kind of interesting because he was one of the seminar speakers that we were with back in the 90s. And he did a disaster movie back in the 70s called Earthquake. And, you know, and this script that they're coming out with right now is starting to remind me of a long 1970s disaster movie. I mean, you know, really, are we really going to continue to destroy the population of the planet because of a flu-like virus? Let me ask you guys a question. This is right from Zero Hedge. Do you believe the global economic outlook is better represented by crashing demand for oil and price volatility in recent days, or by the boundless rally in some major stock indexes? And if you said neither, you're correct. You know, guys, here's the thing. We're destroying the world economy over a virus. And I mean, and people saying, well, this is, you know, they're doing it politically because of Donald Trump. No, they're not. They're doing it in Germany, too. Their GDP is through the floor. They're doing it all over the world. China's through the floor. All of Europe's through the floor. This is not something that basically – I know we as Americans like to think it's all about us. You know, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but it's true. We do. Unless you have world experience, you've traveled around the world and you realize there's other countries and other governments, you don't realize much more than the United States because we're such a big nation and we encompass such a large geographical area. And, you know, we can travel all around our country, or we used to could freely and unmolested on our way. We start thinking we're about it. We're not. There are a lot of other countries in the world that are also going through the exact same thing with coronavirus. And they've shut down their economies, too, over this imaginary predator that no one can see, as they put us in masks and gag us and put us in the corner and tell us to be quiet and tell the peasants they can't leave their homes. Yesterday, I'd be very careful how I say this. I had a long discussion, half hour, which I, you know, basically took notes on, with a medical doctor in New York City in one of the largest hospitals hit by the coronavirus. She wishes to remain anonymous for fear of her job and reprisal from the management. And I spoke to her at length and started asking her all these questions. And she said that the coronavirus was very real about a month ago, and it pushed through the hospital, and they still have people who are on respirators from the overload they had a month or so ago. But she said now it's pretty much all under control, and the hospital was pretty much empty, and the hospital is starting to lay off staff because there's nothing to do in the hospital because there really are no more coronavirus cases coming in high quantity. So this has kind of come in and surged and left. It did exactly what Austin and I told you it was going to do, according to her. It hit the biggest population of the older people and the people that had compromised immune systems. But she also told me there were people coming in their 20s and their 30s who had no problem with their health up to that point, and they also came down with coronavirus, and some of them are also on ventilators. So it's exactly what we told you that it was. She said that she takes vitamins every day, and she's kept her immune system strong. And I asked her, I said, why do you think Fauci and the rest of these guys are not telling you about vitamin D and C and antioxidants? And she goes, I don't know. She goes, lifestyle choices are perhaps the most important decision as far as a person can make determining the outcome of these types of diseases, especially this coronavirus. And she said that, you know, she felt she had already had the coronavirus, but it really didn't affect her. She didn't even miss work from it. And that a lot of people in the hospitals are being, how should I say, overworked, who are in these emergency care facilities. And she said they're also being isolated. And a lot of them are single, and the only time they get to see people are when they're at work, and then they go sit at home by themselves. And she goes, a lot of them are having severe problems with depression, because I asked her about the lady up there who she knew of but did not know personally, who committed suicide. And my, again, my condolences to the family. This medical doctor who did, we talked about it yesterday. So I want you to know that I have been now speaking to a frontline source in a major hospital in New York City who says this thing's pretty much come and gone and that we just need to be careful and take care of ourselves. When I asked her about crashing the economy, she didn't really know a lot about that, so I'm not going to quote her on that because she's not familiar with it. But guys, think about it for a second. She said that we're 2 to 3 weeks behind in the news cycle as far as what's really going on. And she said that probably in 2 or 3 weeks we're going to really start talking about prevention. And I told her, I don't think so. Quite frankly, I don't think anybody's going to talk about prevention because they're not going to do that, because they're not going to be sitting there, the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, all these other people who are basically, you know, pushing the fact that vitamins they say are no good, which is a lie, unless they're really chemical vitamins, which are pretty bad for you anyhow, that these people are not going to turn around and basically tell you now that they're good for you. We had that discussion yesterday too. So then I asked this top medical professional in New York City if I could send her information from the orthomolecular journals and how vitamin C could be used intravenously to treat viral loads, including coronavirus. And she said, yes, I'd love to read the information. So I sent her that information, and I sent her a whole bunch of other articles on vitamin C and the immune system. So guys, we're making an impact because the medical professionals that are open-minded, who want to see the truth, who understand that the medicines and the protocols they're using don't always work, are now starting to realize that there must be some other type of alternative that we can have. But right now we've got to take a look at what's going on with the economy. Cattle prices are plunging amid soaring food prices. In other words, people can't afford to feed their cattle. And what's happening is the food is no longer being produced in the quantities that it need to be produced. The meat processing plants, though, Trump says he's going to sign an executive order, I don't know if he's done that or you're not, to force them back to work, which I don't even know how he's planning on doing that, because that's a very specific skill set as far as meat processing. And all of this stuff is happening now. We're having food prices go through the ceiling. The slaughterhouses are no longer ordering the beef or the cattle or the chickens. So that means the people who own these animals have to feed them. With the food prices going through the roof, they're going to start culling the herds pretty quick. Cattle prices are going through the floor. Food prices are going through the roof. The processing plants are closing. All of these trickle effects are happening right now as this tidal wave of coronavirus, as far as its unintended consequences, and we'd call it blowback, is happening to the economies. So, guys, just keep your belt tightened up right now for a wild ride. It's going to be an interesting 6 months, culminating with our elections. And again, I'm in the same position that Austin's in now. And he said this yesterday, and I didn't really go in and just say, because you know we were running out of time yesterday. Yeah, I really believe, and I told you guys this, that you know we basically were given two choices for the last election for president. That the Rothschilds could control both of them. Or you could say the big guys who took down Building 7. Or you could say the Kabbalists. A lot of people just say globalists. Now, here's why you don't hear me say that very often. There are a lot of people who are, quote, globalists who aren't involved in Satanism. There are a lot of people who are, quote, unquote, globalists who really want the world economies to do well. But there are a group of people out there, the guys who took down Building 7, that are control freaks, who like that snake in the tree guy. You think, well, what's he talking about, snake in the tree? I've never heard this show before. In the Kabbalah, they believe the universe is a big tree, and it has thousands, millions of points of light, and that when you have sex with demonic gods, you create more points of light. Okay, I know it sounds nuts. I didn't say it didn't sound nuts. I think these guys are crazy. And in the middle of this big tree is this big snake wrapped around. His name's Ein Sof of the All-Seeing Eye. And he's the god that they worship. And they really believe they can actually, you know, listen to the show I did back in January. I'm not going to go into this mess again. I don't like talking about it. But so you could say the guys who worship the snake in the tree were the guys who took down Building 7. Now we're talking the same thing. The guys who own the central banks. Now we're talking about all the same group. And it's like this. If you dig under any rock and you see something wrong going on, something bad on the planet, you see something happening in Syria, you see something happening in Iran, you see an AIDS epidemic in Africa, you see 9/11 happening here in the United States, it's these guys. It's always these guys. It's always the same group and their little cohorts that are involved in doing all of it. That's what they call the globalists. I just call them the guys who took down Building 7. Awesome. What do you think, bud?
Well, that's well said, and that's exactly what we're starting to see here now. And that's why I've talked to a lot of people yesterday. I had people send me emails, you know, ask me what to do and so forth, and that's why I bring up the show all the time, because it's way, way more efficient for me to talk to you guys on the show, because I can get a much broader audience than to respond to, you know, 200 or 300 or 400 emails a day. And while I'm on that topic, and I just want to clarify something, please, if you're listening to this show, I appreciate emails when you send me stuff. Please, though, if you're a customer or a listener or just tuning in, please don't send me emails on the contact form telling me that I need to call you immediately because you need something that you have to ask me super, super quick and it's something super important, and put your phone number on there. The reason why is because if it's that important, put in an email and I'll respond to you as quickly as I can. And all customers and listeners know I try to do it the best I can. But when people send me these emails, you need to call me right now. I have something I have to tell you. You have to call me right now. The problem with that is if I did that for every single email, I would get virtually nothing done all day, because I would sit on the phone all day calling people about stuff in most cases is a very short email answer away. So if there's something that's crucial you got to ask me or something important you want to get to me, please feel free to contact us. But sit in the contact email, and I'll respond to you as quickly as possible. I'm usually pretty good about it. But please don't go on there and say, call me ASAP. I have to talk to you right now. Here's my phone number. Because I literally cannot physically do that all day long. I've been getting a lot of those emails lately, and I don't have the time to do that. So thank you so much for the emails. Feel free to send me stuff all the time. I have a lot of people send me articles, news sources, links. Please feel free. Send me that stuff. I love getting that stuff. If you have a question about something or a health topic, feel free. Ask me a question. I try to respond to it as quickly as possible. I really, really appreciate it. And going back to what Dad said here, this is something that's interesting, because remember how I've told you guys this whole loan program has been completely and totally skewed on what's really going on, how if you don't do exactly what they tell you with the money, they're not going to allow you the loan repayment, and you're going to have super high interest points, which I've already talked about. I've talked to numerous people locally, small business owners that have needed these loans, and you know they're getting hit with 6, 7, 8% interest. I mean, high loans. I mean, you're already in a position, and now they're saying, you know, oh, hey, we'll forgive those loans as long as you spent the money on what we told you could spend it on. Now, here's the thing about that. Now we have Mnuchin. This is the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, has now come out now on NBC yesterday. He said they will be performing a full forensic audit on any company that has taken out more than $2 million in small business loan programs. And, of course, they're saying that excuse because there's been multiple companies who they think are essentially cheating the system, so to speak. And there may be a few people, a few companies that are coming out and doing that now. The problem is a $2 million loan for a company that's pretty, even not even that big, that's not that much money. I know $2 million sounds like a lot of cash, but if you have, you know, 15, 20 employees and they're all making, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, payroll chews up pretty fast, and that's not even including your expenses, your overhead, your cost, your inventory, your taxes. I mean, the list goes on the line. Once you start running a business, you see how much money goes out. So they're saying a $2 million loan now, anybody that took out a $2 million business loan for this whole, you know, stimulus thing is going to have a full forensic audit before they forgive the loan, which means exactly what I warned everybody about. They are going to go in and look at every single penny. I'm talking down to the 0.01 penny. If anything was spent or not allocated or not properly designated in the right area or in the right category and spent in the wrong category, they're going to absolutely not forgive the loan, and you're going to get stuck with an unbelievably high interest note for years on end that you are now going to have to be saddled with on top of trying to keep your company running by the end of the year. So again, this is something I warned everybody about. If you had to get the loan, you had to get the loan. I know some people that have gotten it. It's worked out good for them. They got the minimal amount they needed. They're covering their overhead. They basically are using it very specifically. They're bringing their accountant in. And most of the people that I know haven't gotten $2 million loans. They've gotten, you know, like $50,000, $100,000 loans. And in most cases, you're probably going to be okay in that scenario. But, man, I mean, you should have full forensic audit for more than $2 million loan, Dad. I mean, did we not call this a couple weeks ago or what?
We warned everybody, Austin. I mean, I don't know what to do besides warn people. And then there's one other quote here. I'm going to quote you on this. Here's a quote from Munchen. I want to be very clear. It's the borrowers who have the criminal liability. Now, remember, this isn't corporate liability. It's criminal. I mean, it's to go to jail. I want to be very clear. It's the borrowers who have criminal liability if they made this certification, and it's not true, Munchen told and said Tuesday on CNBC. We will make sure that what was the intent for taxpayers is fulfilled here. I don't even know what to say. It says the Los Angeles Lakers took out $4.6 million relief fund. The Los Angeles Lakers, and that it was inappropriate for other large public companies and big chains to get funding as well. I mean, a lot of these people now are returning these loans. A backlash against those companies getting relief aid has prompted entities, including the Lakers, to start returning the money. More than $2 billion from the first round of funding for the program was declined or returned and will now be made available. I mean, let's repeat that. When people started realizing this was a forensic audit and they're going to be criminally liable for this, more than $2 billion from the first round of funding has been declined or returned and will be made now available. Guys, this thing has so many tentacles and blood-sucking leeches on it. What the heck do you want to sleep with this thing for? I mean, you really want to sleep with a thing covered with tentacles and blood-sucking leeches and have it crawling under the covers with you? I know that's a very, very strong metaphor. I'm thinking about what I just said. But it is that. You got some vampire squid thing that you want to climb under the covers with and let it wrap its tentacles around you, and pretty soon you're going to be wishing you'd never crawled under the covers with it. It's one of those deals. If you have to have that loan, that's the choice that you and your CPA and your CFO need to make. All right? But guys, if you can make it without this, geez, make it without this. This is one of those things that you're going to be going back down the road here a while back, and you're going to be going, why did I go to bed with a vampire squid? This thing is the pits. By the way, Breitbart now says that Hillary Clinton, God, the witch of Benghazi, Hillary Clinton, coronavirus would be a terrible crisis to waste. We need universal health care. You know, this lady sounds like a broken record of weirdness. And this is what they always say. No, it's awful, bud. It never ends with her. And before this is over with, you see if she's not going to be involved in this election one way or the other. I mean, I don't trust this woman. I mean, if anybody listening trusts her, I mean, what the heck are we even thinking about all of this stuff? Oh, by the way, they're now saying that Yellowstone, which is about as geographically isolated as you can possibly get, that its iconic hotels are likely to stay closed when the park opens up, if they even open Yellowstone this year. Now, that's kind of crazy. I mean, I don't know how much more geographically isolated you can get than Yellowstone, but they're saying now the hotels basically are going to remain closed. Guys, here's the thing. And this, of course, more government bureaucracy crap. You know, if we don't get things moving again, if we don't open up the hotels, you know, look at Boeing after that horrible jet problem they had last year. They've gone through $5 billion in cash. Boeing's, you know, until they can figure out how to make a plane that doesn't crash again, they're probably not going to stay in business if they're not going to go into receivership. You've got to let the corporations and the hotel chains and the people who know how to run things get back to doing their businesses, including opening up Yellowstone. Just to tie together with that, Airbnb is in trouble. I mean, they're really in trouble, and these super hosts are now saying that we may have to file bankruptcy because we basically put so much money into being a super host and having the right facility, et cetera, that we're hemorrhaging cash now because people aren't really getting Airbnb anymore. So we're in a situation here where, hey, we need to turn America back on again. Then one more interesting article, and it says, after decades of brainwashing with the mainstream media and governments, they're now losing control of the people. The mainstream media are losing control of the people all over the globe. Humans are finally standing up for their rights to live as not as slaves, but as sovereign people capable of making their own decision without rulers and elitists calling the shots. Never before have we seen global tyranny at this scale, but never before have we seen mass uprising against governments and their propaganda outlets, the mainstream media, as we are seeing today. As more and more people get off their knees and stand up for their basic human right to live freely, governments and the elitists that control them lose power. We are at that point where power will return to the people and the elitists will be the ones living in fear. All we have to do is be free. Guys, I can't even emphasize how important this is. It's posted on the Health Master's website to read this article. We've got to understand that when we stand in aggregate like we do right now with this show, I mean, I had a guy call me from the email me from the Ukraine yesterday, and he was talking to one of his friends. And he was talking to his friends about the Ted Nostrum Brewer Show in the Ukraine. And they said, oh, I've had two other people tell me about the Ted Nostrum Brewer Show this week. This is in Ukraine. I mean, this show is getting huge. I mean, we are all over the world because we're calling out in unison for all the nations and all the people of the world to cry out for freedom. I mean, we've got to have that. I remember when I was watching that one movie, I forgot which one, I think it was The Avengers, and, you know, when they were over in Germany, and then, you know, and then the evil Loki guy shows up, and he basically tells the crowd to kneel before him because he is God, and everybody kneels, and one guy says, I'm not going to kneel. I've done that before. I'm not doing it again. And, you know, we have to be that one guy. We have to be that one guy that stands up and say, I will not kneel. I will not bow my knee to tyranny. I will not allow these people to tell me that I can and can't do what I can and can't do. I mean, we've got laws. I got that. You know, I believe in a rule of law, but I don't believe in a rule of tyranny. I don't believe in a rule of law that is only for certain people and other people have no rule of law. Jeffrey Epstein had no rule of law. Hillary Clinton has no rule of law. Donald Trump has no rule of law. The only way he got to where he was working with mafia people for all of those years in New York City in the building casino industry. If you want to believe that that's not the truth, then you need to do some more research. I mean, there's no rule of law for some of these people. They can just get away and do whatever they want to do as long as they do what? As long as they toe the line they're given and they do what they're told to do whenever they're told to do it. In other words, you jump. Fossey needs to be fired. Oh, 2 days later. Fossey's a great guy. I don't know why I said that. What the heck are we... Really? Does anybody not see what's going on? We had a choice, like Austin said, in the last election. And both persons basically were under the control of the international banks. Both of them. Both of them were bowing down to them. Both of them were being controlled, here we go, via AIPAC. You think, well... Really? Yeah, and remember, that's just one part of the head of the snake. This is a multi-headed snake, dragon, weirdo thing. It's kind of like reading a book of Revelations with this thing. This thing's one of those weird things. It's got dozens of heads on it. So you cut off one head, it's like that Hydra thing again from the Avengers movie. You cut off one head and, you know, five more pop up. Why is that? Because it's systemic, and the real head, these guys who like that snake in the tree that I talked about earlier, they keep themselves hidden in the dark. And that's why when we resist, like this article tells us to do, when we resist and we stand against the tyranny all over the world together in unison, listeners everywhere right now, stand against it. Be vocal. Go out and tell people about this show. Go out and tell people that they're sovereign. Go out and tell people that they're free. Go out and tell people. Yesterday, I pulled into a church down the street from my house. There were two police officers over there. And I started talking to one of them who was a lieutenant. And I asked him, I said, are you going to take the vaccine? He goes, I'm not going to take anything that Bill Gates gives us. I don't trust that guy. This is the lieutenant talking to me yesterday in the parking lot. Everybody's waking up. And we all realize that something's seriously wrong here. The difference on this show and most shows is that we go where no one wants to go before. I kind of like Star Trek. We go where no man has gone before. I can't say that we always do that on a perfect way, but I will say this. We talk about stuff that nobody else wants to talk about. And this is one of those things. You've got to look at the spiritual roots. Another one of our listeners contacted me from yesterday and said, wow, I felt like I'd been to a church service yesterday when I listened to your show. And, you know, I'm okay with that. I like that. Because, guys, listen to me. Without Jesus being the author and the finisher and the perfecter of our faith, where's our hope from? Is our hope in Donald Trump? No. How about that ridiculous CIA Operation Mockingbird Q? Absolutely not. No hope in that weirdo bot or whatever the heck that thing is at all. We have to have hope in the one through whom all things are held together. That would be Christ. And with that, remember, God saw this on this planet. He's on the present. And he went back into the timeline and he inserted Jesus. Okay? Now, Lucifer didn't know he was going to do that. Okay? He didn't know it was going to happen. Lucifer's not on the present. God inserted Christ into the timeline to change all of this stuff, to set us free from this cycle of death that we have on this planet. And without Jesus, there's no being set free. I told you guys a couple of years ago, I did a show with another pretty good host who's basically into the New Age stuff. And I was talking to her about Jesus and talking to her, just like I'm talking right now to you guys. And she said, well, there's other ways to God besides through Christ. And I said, no. She goes, I said, no, there's not. She said, well, people can have the Christ spirit. And I said, no, just Jesus is a spirit. He's a real human. He's a human being. He's really a God. He's everything. He's all of it, all in the one. That's how he came on this planet. He ascended back to the throne. And she goes, well, you know, we don't believe that. I'm like, okay, that's all right. You don't have to believe it. Of course, I was never asked back. I was never asked to be back on that show again. Because, guys, without Christ, let's just stop for a second. Okay, if these people want to be a bunch of New Agers, let's stop for a second. Let's take Jesus out of the timeline. All right? Let's take him out of the timeline. Say he never existed. We're going to take him out. Okay? Where would we be right now without Christianity? We'd be back to Genesis chapter 6 is where we'd be. Probably worse. I mean, the Roman orgies and the hedonism of Rome and just go in and just invade other countries and take them over and just take their assets and resources. I mean, we're already doing that. The United States is the worst that there is on the planet of doing that right there. Okay? We're like the ancient Roman Empire. We go into Syria. We're there to liberate the country, and we get the oil, get to the oil fields, and Trump goes, yeah, I kind of like the oil fields. I'm going to keep these. I mean, like, they're not his to keep. Okay? So we kind of do that already. Where would we be without Christianity, without Jesus preaching love one another 2,000 years ago? Where would we be without the New Covenant, the New Testament? Where would we be if we had stayed with the ancient pagan rituals of Baal and Asherah and the Greek gods and all the stuff that the doggone Romans believed in? Remember when Paul was preaching, I believe it was in Athena, and he was talking about all the different gods they had there? You know, Austin and I have been in Athens. We've been there. We have been and we have seen the shops there with all their pagan idols everywhere. What would it have been had Christ not come? How bad would it be? If it's this bad right now with the teachings of Christ, how bad would it have been without Jesus? People need to think through that. Is it going to always be an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? You kill me, I'm going to kill you. You kill me, I'm going to kill you and your whole family. Is that what that turns into? Does that turn into what Saddam Hussein did with his rape squads? Is that what it turns into? Is that what it is without Jesus? And the answer is yes. That's what it is. And Jesus warned us because he knew that this was going to come, a time like this. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return. Guys, that's why we've got to stay focused on Christ, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. Well, your show's too religious. Okay, whatever. Just, you know, find another show that you talked a bunch of heathen in. I don't care. Do what you want to do. Because I'm not here to tell you guys what you want to hear. The Bible says in the latter days some will abandon the faith and following deceiving spirits and demons, and they will follow what their itching ears want to hear. That's what the Word says. That's not what this show's all about. I'm here to tell you that with the power that we have as Christians is unprecedented. That's why they're scared to death of us. They're scared of us. They're scared that we're going to wake up as a group of believers in unity to the blood covenant that we have with Christ, to God Almighty, in covenant with the creator of the universe, and say, no, I don't think so. I don't want to be your slave, and I'm not going to be your slave. So no, we're not going to do that. Because they know that there's only a tiny amount of them. There's only a few thousand of them on this planet. Maybe 10,000 of them are involved in all of this stuff. There's billions of people on this planet, and there's billions of Christians who, if they woke up, could do all things through Christ who strengthens them. And these people know it. That's why, remember, they're going into churches now, driving churches, and they're hauling people and giving them tickets and arresting them. They don't go into mosques. Austin talked about this yesterday. Why? Because they know that Christians are the ones that have the real power. Austin, what do you think?
That's really well said. And what people have to remember is that large pockets and a lot of the start of the kind of idea and dissidents in the Revolutionary War against England, a lot of that started in the church. It started in the pulpits. The pastors were a lot of these spearheads of the militias, because that's where people met together. They congregated. And the pastor would get up there and say, listen, we're not going to obey King George. This is tyrannical. We have God-given rights. We're not going to do this. And everybody said, yeah, you're right. Okay, let's go. Load them up. Move out. And see, they don't want people doing that anymore. They don't want people congregating together. It's interesting. I had an email yesterday from a listener who listens to us pretty regularly. And you guys know, yesterday I brought the topic. I just nobody's brought this up except for me. I brought this up just because I've heard this all across the country now in numerous areas, not all of it, but a lot of it, is that law enforcement has not been treating Muslim mosques the same way they've been treating Christian churches. I'm just going to put that out there. There have been some mosques that have been closed. There are some of them that don't, they're not going to their mosque and, you know, the whole thing Muhammad. But there hasn't been a single video, a single incident at all that I have heard or seen where law enforcement has been coming into churches, arresting people, or fining Muslims for having drive-in services, or much less going and having prayer services inside their Muslim mosque together. I've never heard it at all, period. And I've heard numerous reports of mosques refusing to shut down. Law enforcement, dead silent. And one of our listeners, he emailed me up yesterday. He said, dude, listen to you guys all the time. I'm going to let you know. He goes, I am a basically convert. I used to be Muslim, Christian now. I was a Muslim for 8 years. And he goes, the reason why that has not happened is, he said, the Muslims would start a war over it, and they would kill the law enforcement officers. I went, whoa. Well, that's brazen to say. That's why it hasn't been done. So we haven't seen a single video. Not, there's no cell phone camera, nothing. They haven't done it. No mosques have been raided. And it's ironic, you read a lot of the executive orders from these mayors and governors, and a lot of them say churches. Specifically say no church. And then some of them say places of worship. But then there's no enforcement except on churches. Why is that? Why? Because they know the power of Christianity in Christ. They know that to be true. That's why they target it. That's why they're sending officers around to give people $500 fines who are parked in church parking lots in their car with their windows up, listening to services on their radio by themselves. I mean, that is so far delusional and makes zero sense whatsoever, unless the whole point of it is to break down the fabric of Christianity. Why is it not being done all across the country? Why do we not see Muslims being fined and arrested and having their mosque blocked from people going in there? I want to see how that goes. Interesting. Just thought I would bring that up. Also, too, Dad said something about Wyoming. This is what's so weird about it, Wyoming. I just had this conversation the other day about somebody as well with Wyoming. Wyoming is the 10th largest state in the entire country. It has a population of 600,000 people. You know how many cases of COVID-19 have been in Wyoming? The entire state, not counties or cities. The entire state of Wyoming. You know, it's got almost 600,000 people, which, I mean, that's not a lot for that big of a state, but it's still, you know, a lot of people. There have been 526 cases in the entire state of Wyoming. Of all those cases, I haven't found one death, and there's been 46 hospitalizations. Now, obviously, those numbers may change a little bit, so don't come in and say, well, there's been 47 hospitalizations now, Austin. Don't do that. It's right around those numbers, because obviously you get different numbers. So there's been roughly 500 cases with a population of over 500,000 people and roughly 40 to 50 hospitalizations. But yet, Yellowstone's closed. Why? Again, they want you to know that they control everything. And the more that everybody sits back and doesn't do anything and doesn't say a word and just sits in their home and watches their Netflix and drinks their diet soda and says, you know, we just have to flatten the curve. We need to do our part. We're in this together. Oh, we're in this together, all right. There's no flattening the curve anymore. The virus has burned itself out already in most cases. You got cases, you got people in the hospital, yes. Is it time to start the country back up? 100%. Is it time to wake everything back up? Yeah. This cannot go on. Just got the reports from NBC earlier today. If you guys saw this, housing sales fell 21% in March compared to February now. That's almost 17% lower annually than last year. Housing sales have dropped through the floor. Realtors, of course, are trying to hold on to the remnants of normalcy they have. They're saying, oh, it's going to bounce back. It's going to bounce back. Here's the issue with the housing market. It's not just the economy that's going to do that. The banks have intentionally locked down mortgage loans. They've locked them down. I mean, I talked to another friend of mine the other day that's involved in some of that. He goes, dude, he goes, if you don't have like a 720 Beacon score with hardly any debt to income ratio, and you can put down at least 20 to 30% down on the house, you could probably get a mortgage. Probably. Other than that, don't even apply. Don't even apply. So you go buy a $500,000 house in this country, which I mean, that's a nice house. You got to put down $150,000. You have to have virtually no debt, and you have to have like a 720 or higher Beacon score. You just shrunk the population demographics that can actually get a mortgage in the country next to nothing. Why? Because they're intentionally trying to contract everything, and they know what's about to happen. So be prepared for all this stuff that's going on right now. I mean, we just saw another incident in California. Another guy in California had a red flag gun law issued on him. Red flag gun law. Took his shotguns. Said he was not allowed to own shotguns, basically because he had had a DUI. Okay. So you can't own a shotgun because you made a mistake with alcohol and nobody was injured. That makes no sense. Well, then we find out the truth. Now we find out that somebody actually called in on him and had a red flag gun law issued on him because he was running around telling everybody that the COVID-19 was an elaborate scam to scare America into getting a vaccine that would allow them to be tracked by 5G towers. Whoa. Can't talk about that. Remember, they've already blocked all this stuff on YouTube. I went over to with Dad last night, some of his friends that he knows over in Lakeland, over by the airport, and we were talking. And I was talking to the guy that was there, the main guy, and I said, YouTube shut us down. I said, YouTube is not what everybody thinks it is. Neither is Twitter, neither is Facebook, neither is Instagram. None of them are. I said, they're social media platforms designed to skew public narrative in the direction they want. How so? This is why they blacklist people. This is why they shadow ban people. This is why they ban people. Whenever you start talking about topics that they don't want you to talk about, they ban it. Point in case, 5G towers. COVID-19 conspiracy with 5G towers and vaccines. A lot of those videos have been getting pulled down left and right. Now, when you start having hundreds of thousands of videos posted, it's very difficult to completely and totally censor all those. They try. They try very hard. Remember, I always tell you, whenever you see something banned, whenever you see something restricted in that sense as far as a talking point, there's a high probability that there's some truth to it. But the old adage they always say, if you want to find out who rules you, find out who you can't criticize. That's always something I've held tight to. And now it's interesting, we find even creepier now, is that the chief public health officer in Canada, Theresa Tam, she was just recently appointed by Justin Trudeau, the hardcore leftist communist, to be a member of the COVID-19 Immunity Task Force. Now, what's interesting about this Theresa Tam lady in Canada, a lot of people haven't seen this yet. It's starting to pop up. Paul Joseph Watson actually resurfaced this. She did a documentary back in 2010, documentary, her talking, about the advocating of a mandatory tracking bracelets for people who refuse to take vaccines after a virus outbreak. I kid you not. It's a 10-year clip from Theresa Tam. You guys can see it. It's circulating now. And she quotes on here, you could track people, put bracelets on their arm, police checkpoints are set up, everyone leaving the city is required to show proof of vaccination, and those who refuse to cooperate are taken away to temporary detention centers. I think the public has to know this is one of the worst-case scenarios in the case of an infectious disease outbreak, but if there are people who are non-compliant, there are definitely laws and public health powers that can quarantine people into mandatory settings. This is what she said 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Whoa. Mandatory tracking bracelets for people that have gotten the vaccine and mandatory detention centers for people who have not? this is some weird stuff. And now we have Bill Gates running his mouth all month about this digital certificate. And now we have the next thing that came out even weirder. Oxford University just came out and said tests are showing the vaccine may be ready by September and not 2021. Oh, imagine that. The New York Times just put out an article and said most other teams have had to start with small clinical trials of a few hundred participants to demonstrate safety. But scientists from Oxford University out of the University of Jenner Institute have a head start on the vaccine, having proved in previous trials that similar inoculations, including one last year against an earlier coronavirus, were harmless to humans. Wait, what? They were already testing coronavirus vaccines last year? Well, but it was a different strand. It wasn't the same one. Okay, okay. Well, you know what? I'm probably reading too much into this. This is probably just one of those, you know, I'm going off the deep end. Let's see who's behind it. You know, we probably have some really legitimate people who are behind this Jenner Institute study who have been doing coronavirus vaccine testing since last year. You know, I mean, we probably have some real, reliable, credible individuals who we really know are about public health. So let's look at it right here. They said the Oxford team was able to test 6,000 people already in these clinical trials, and they already started them last month or last year on the coronavirus. Emilio Emily, who's the director of the vaccine program at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, said it's a very, very fast clinical program. Oh my gosh, imagine that. I don't even have to go any further. So we already now have them admitting they've been working on coronavirus-style vaccines since last year. And now all of a sudden, this Oxford University group out of Jenner Institute goes, oh, hey, we already figured it out. We already have these thousands of people clinically trialed. We already know what we're going to do. We're planning on having this vaccine ready to roll out between August and September of this year. Now, rewind 3 weeks ago to when the little weasel Fauci got on national television in his press conference and he said, we're going to have reoccurrences of coronavirus. It's going to happen again and again. We need to stay shut down for 18 months or else it's going to keep popping up. So we pretty much are seeing now, guys, you can look at the timeline. I'm giving you guys the timeline right now. That's my opinion, but I'm putting 1 + 1 = 2 together and connecting the rest of the dots for you. They're telling us this vaccine is going to be ready to roll out by August or September of this year. We already know Bill and Melinda Gates have funded millions, hundreds of millions of dollars to all kinds of different pharmaceutical companies over the years. I mean, hundreds of millions. We already know that they're working on a RNA or DNA vaccine. Now, one thing I want to clarify here, I'm going to clarify this, is that there may not be a significant issue with this first vaccine that they inject in everybody. I'm going to let you know that. This may be a first one, maybe a small beta run test, because here's what goes on further. Emily Amini, the director of the vaccine program at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, cautioned that more than one vaccine would be necessary for the coronavirus, as the effects of one vaccine only may vary due to various age groups. Meaning they want you to get vaccinated multiple times, i.e. coronavirus booster shots yearly. So this first vaccine may be a very, very, very smooth rollout. You don't even know what they're going to have in it. It may be saline solution. You don't even know. There's no idea what they're going to put in this. And they may come out and say, hey, listen, guys, nobody had any issues. You know, the coronavirus has dropped down because it's burned itself out. Everybody's healthy. Nobody's really gotten sick from this RNA vaccine. Everybody feels great. But you know what? We got another round of coronavirus coming up. And hey, listen, this vaccine works really good. We don't need more cases. Everybody get your booster shot. Everybody's got to go get your shot right now. I'm just going in out there on left field of what's going on. But I'm saying, don't you find it odd now that FDA requires a year and a half to 2 years for vaccines to be approved? Now all of a sudden these guys are working on it and it's suddenly going to be approved by September because they've suddenly, out of the blue, been working on coronavirus vaccines since last year. just happen to consequently be doing that. Why don't we look at what's really going on behind the curtain here, and you will see that there's some very, very, very strange thing that's going on, especially at the same time we now have the release from Anthony Cubbertson. He came out now 4 days ago, and they have now basically blasted this out in alternative media. This is something really low-key. Microsoft proposed a method to generate cryptocurrency by monitoring people's brain activity and biometric data. This is beyond creepy. The new patent that has now been given to Microsoft, titled Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data, describes how a person could attach sensors to their body and earn cryptocurrency through a process known as mining. Doing it through a human body activity associated with task and monitoring the outcome with biometric sensors. For example, a brainwave or body heat emitted from the user when the user performs the task provided by the information service provider will essentially mine Bitcoin. The mining system would involve hooking up various sensors to the body and activity required the user to generate the cryptocurrency. Beyond brainwaves and body heat, other activities could be monitored, including body fluid flow and organ activity movement. The patent lists 28 different concepts for the way the system could be used to mine cryptocurrency, including tasks like browsing social media, engaging with artificial intelligence, and visiting a website. I'm not going to go much further into that. I'm going to post that on the website and let you guys make your own take of that. Pretty much what I just read in that is they're rolling out the Matrix, the first Matrix, and they're going to start allowing people to hook up sensors to themselves so they can generate a cryptocurrency that's backed by nothing, that's built by nothing, that's made out of thin air pretty much, and they're going to monitor everything you do while you tie into the AI Internet of Things and generate money all day by sitting there because of your body heat, your biometrics, and your brain waves. And imagine how they're going to get all that to work. They're probably going to have to inject something into you to get all those things to tie in together. Just going to leave that there. I'm going to post that on the website today, though, Dan.
You know, Austin, you know, the beginning of the Matrix. You know, we're yep. there. We're in it. The opening of the book of Revelation. Now I want to tie one thing together real quickly on a point you made that was absolutely excellent. Let's talk about Oxford University, Cecil Rhodes, Diamond Mines, Rothschilds, who owned all of that, who went in there and really, really funded Oxford and really gave them a huge endowment, who some people say, you know, this is speculation, still run Oxford University to this date from the 1800s on. Now, let's stop for a second. Why would you think that about Oxford? I mean, that's a prestigious organization, this prestigious university. Okay. Let's talk about Samuel Untermeyer. Let's tie it together with the Rothschild banking cartel and Zionism. Let's tie it together with the guys who took down Building 7. Let's tie it together with these guys who like the snake in the tree. Oxford University, when Samuel Untermeyer is the guy who basically blackmailed President Woodrow Wilson to get the Federal Reserve Act passed, Samuel Untermeyer is also the one who took Cyrus Schofield, who had written the Schofield Reference Bible and was working on it and had these concepts of Zionism in Palestine, in Israel, and the rapture, and all these other things that have been promoted by Darby 50 years earlier to come up with the Schofield Reference Bible. Samuel Untermeyer is the one who took Schofield to Oxford University Press to print the Schofield Bible to be distributed for free to Christian universities and seminaries all over the world. Yeah, that same Oxford. Now they're saying that they've got advanced testing going along. Remember, back in January, February, I told you that Israel said they already had a vaccine for coronavirus. We reported on that. Nobody else did, I heard. And, you know, all of a sudden now, you know, we know the Rothschilds control Israel. We know that supposedly they control Oxford, you know, as far as their endowments they've given them, the people they have in charge there. And now suddenly Oxford's in charge of putting them together a giant vaccine program that will be ready to go here in a few months. It's like Austin said, vaccines are going to be like a giant Ponzi scheme. Let's go ahead and inject a few hundred million people and basically, let's give them saline. We don't know what we're getting. Let's give them some saline. And also, nobody has any adverse side effects. And everybody goes, the vaccine's safe, the vaccine's safe, the vaccine is safe. And now, instead of a couple hundred million get vaccinated, a couple billion get vaccinated. Let's talk about what happened in 1976 with Gerald Ford and the swine flu. This is interesting to me. You know, we don't really know now much about this because it's kind of gotten known as the Great Swine Flu Massacre. When the President of the United States, Gerald Ford, was enlisted to pursue and persuade the public to undergo a national vaccine campaign. This is 1975-76. The moving force behind the scheme was $135 million windfall profit for the major drug manufacturers. They had a swine flu vaccine, which suspicious pig raisers had refused to touch, fearful that it may wipe out their hogs. The manufacturer only tried to get $80 million from the swine breeders, and they said absolutely not. So they decided to push it on the American population. The impetus for the national swine flu vaccine came directly from Disease Control Center, Atlanta, Georgia. Perhaps coincidentally, Jimmy Carter, a member of the Trilateral Commission, was then planning his presidential campaign in Washington. Well, by the way, guys, by April 15th, 1976, Congress passed law 94-266, which provided $135 million of taxpayers' funds to pay for a national swine flu inoculation. Hardly had the swine flu campaign been completed when the reports of the casualties began to pour in. Within a few months, claims totaling $1.3 billion. This is before they were immune and is exempt from lawsuits. Claims totaling $1.3 billion against vaccine companies have been filed by patients who suffered permanent paralysis from the swine flu vaccine. Yeah, I'm posting this on the website. I want you guys to know what happened already when they did all of this stuff. Now, one other thing that I mentioned earlier in the show was Operation Mockingbird. I'm posting this article right from Wikipedia. And so a lot of you don't know what that means. Operation Mockingbird is an alleged, it wasn't alleged, it happened. This is from Wikipedia, large-scale program of the United States CIA that began in the early 50s and attempted to manipulate news media. They didn't attempt, they did, for propaganda purposes. It funded student and cultural organizations and magazines as front organizations. Posting that, this has never stopped. Operation Mockingbird has never stopped. They're not going to stop it. Why would they stop it when they have the ability to get you so much propaganda? So many of the top people who are news broadcasters are on CIA payroll. A newscaster in Germany came forward a few years ago. He did a big broadcast and he exposed it all on National News One Night Live about what the CIA was doing and how they were funding these broadcasters in Germany. They do it globally, including the United States. And, of course, he was promptly fired. And, of course, promptly a couple of years later, he he just kind of killed himself. You know, it's all of a sudden he was dead and gone. Yeah, how about that? That happened again. Another one of the strange deaths. Guys, the media has been compromised 70 years ago through the CIA when they took control after Roswell with Eisenhower and Truman and all those other clowns back then. Forgive me for saying that, but I don't care for any of those guys. Remember, Truman was a 33-degree Mason, and he gave half of Europe away to Russia to openly to become communists. So just what a mess. I'm going to stop there before I get in trouble with this. By the way, the Muslim call to prayer now will be blasted in over a major city 5 times a day. A Minneapolis neighborhood, which lies in controversial Democratic represented Ilhan Omar's district, will begin broadcasting the Muslim call to prayer 5 times a day over outdoor loudspeakers throughout the month of Ramadan, reports say. The move is believed to be the first publicly broadcast call to prayer in a major U.S. city. Wow. Here's the deal. We talked about that a few minutes ago with Austin. Notice, where's the ACLU? Where are all these people saying you can't be mixing government together with religion? Where is that? It's like the former Muslim who became a Christian now who wrote Austin the other day said, they can't go in and try to stop this because if they do, they will be killed because they are not allowed to do this, you know, to go in and break up a prayer call or break up a group of people praying who are Muslims. And I will give the Muslims credit for this. They're a pretty unified bunch. And they believe so strongly, some of them, in their religion that they're willing to die for it, like today, right now, like 10 minutes ago, if they're messed with. You know, Christians, let me tell you something. we got to grow a set. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that. We have to get more testosterone. We have got to figure out a way to get these guys in the pulpit and start telling the truth. Not that we need to have some kind of mass culling of the herd when Christians have to get killed because they're defending their faith. Not because of any of that, but we've got to stand up for what we know is right. We've got to be willing to say stuff and not go passively into night and pretend like this is all okay. Because, guys, it's no longer all okay. And always remember this. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay intentful. We have to realize that if we do what's right in God's eyes, He is there to protect us. Remember Psalm 91. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. We will be taken care of by God Almighty because He will see us and know that we're protecting His name, His word. Not that He needs our protection, but that we're supporting Him openly, that we're confessing that we're Christians, and He will protect us, He will take care of us. Guys, I love you, and I appreciate you. Remember, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. Austin, it's all yours.
That was absolutely well said, and that's why I would continue to tell everybody, if the more you can become self-sufficient, the stronger you can become to resist tyranny and resist a lot of this is going on. If you have no food and you have no protection, you have no security, and you basically are just living freely into the night, guys, you're setting yourself up for something bad. That's why I continue to tell everybody, keep your immune system strong. Keep your supplements stashed good. I'm letting everybody know right now, I have the food buckets on the website. They're going to be shipping out in about a week. I'm getting small shipments of them in this week and next week. We're getting them all consolidated, and then we're basically going to be shipping a bunch of them out in bulk to all the customers. So I'm letting you know right now, we have a very small amount coming in. We've limited it to 2 buckets per customer, simply to make sure everybody can get a hold of them. But I do have the organic food buckets coming in on the website, so be sure to check them out right now. If you need anything, please give us a call. We'll be happy to help you out the best we can, but please stay self-sufficient, stay prepared, stay healthy, and of course, stay frosty. I'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.